Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, stop the music. That was Once in America, Once Upon a Time in America. Dinah Shore sang See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. We just learned moments ago that Obama is taking over General Motors to create a Soviet-era automobile giant. And so I think the new song should be See the USA, Obama's Way. The government is asking you to crawl. So play this song again and think of the new lyrics.
USA in your Chevrolet.
Obama's way.
America,
the government is asking you to crawl.
Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest.
Did you ever think you would live to see the time that we would become the Soviet Union? And this is only the beginning. This is only 100 days into the Soviet era under Obama, the naked Marxist. General Motors is going to be sold to the government at a very low price. And Obama has turned America into a Soviet-style command economy right in front of your eyes, where the government controls the means of production. The government will decide now what is produced. And the American people are so dumb. The American people are so ignorant because of the people in the media who either are as dumb as the American people or more devious than even you can imagine, that the media is not explaining to you what Obama is doing with a sleight of hand right in front of your eyes. Turning America into a Soviet-style command economy. It used to be said that what was good for General Motors was good for America. The new statement should be what is good for Obama is good for America because he has become America. Ein Reich, ein Volk, ein Obama. Ein Reich, ein Volk, ein Obama. The only difference is style. This one smiles, the other strutted. This one speaks softly, the other one yelled. This one goes to war against business. The other one went to war against fellow nations. But we have a dictatorship in this country that is growing by the day. It is metastasizing and spreading faster than the swine flu. And I am telling you the way it is. I am not wrong. I'm right. Obama takes over General Motors. Not a word in the American media. Government controls the means of production. The government decides what is produced. The American car will become the biggest joke since the Yugo. Unions got paid off. They didn't take a cut, did they? Did the unions get a cut here? No. They didn't cut the exorbitant amount of money that the auto workers make or their absurd pensions for what they actually do. So the new company will be run by Obama. And that means that the senators and the congressmen who are on Obama's team will now run America's largest car company. That means Bonnie Frank will be working in the automobile business. He could take some time out of his busy work. And he could help redesign, for example, the tailpipes of the new General Motors cars. I mean, that would be something he would probably like to do, is redesign the tailpipes of GM cars. And let's see, what would Biden do? Biden could work on what programs are permitted to be broadcast on the new government-controlled General Motors cars. After all, Biden knows how to speak and what people want to hear, and he's an honest man, so he could control what radios and what radio stations are downloaded into government motors. And let us see, what role would others in the administration play? Janet Napolitano could put chips in government motors cars, and she could monitor where you are going and know where you are every day of the week. She could find out through the chip and maybe even a camera in the government motors cars what you're saying in your car. Big Sis could put a microphone in every car, a mic chip in every General Motors car or Government Motors car, and Big Sis could monitor your conversations in your cars. Big Sis is a miss, but you don't want to know that either. Now, I could ask you questions about it, but I don't think I want to. I'll just keep talking. The other topic is London Bridge is falling down. Do you know that I'm not the only one who's realized that there's no England anymore? Do you know that the Speaker of the House of Commons agreed to resign today because of his rotten, corrupt Labour Party? This is the same party that has Jackie Smith defaming Michael Savage. This is the same party that would permit mass murderers in, such as Kim Jong-il, but will not permit an American talk show host into England. Now, the Speaker of the House of Commons was not forced to resign over Michael Savage. He's going to resign over expense scandals. The Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, has had to apologize for the misconduct of his corrupt Labour Party. When will Jackie Smith and the rest of her leftist ilk be forced out of power so that Britain can once again be called great? Great Britain, remember that? Is it still Great Britain? I don't think so. The only good news was yesterday, several conservative members of parliament in England debated on the banning of Michael Savage from the UK. Let us hear clip 21, please.
Well, notwithstanding the Home Secretary's answer, she will be aware that the things of which she accuses Mike Savage is equally illegal in the United States of America, and he has not faced prosecution there. So does she realise how ludicrous her ban is? Does she realise the disrepute she has put this country in the eyes of many right-seeing people and indeed left-seeing people in the United States of America? And does she equally plan to ban Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh and other middle-aged, white, ordinary American radio presenters?
Now, Michael Fabricant is a conservative member of parliament, and he got it exactly right. He said, the things she accuses me of doing are illegal in the U.S., and since I've never been banned here, what she is accusing me of is nothing but a pack of lies. And that's true. Every statement that is being circulated that I said has been taken out of context. Every last statement has been twisted by the enemies of patriotism and the enemies of the truth, in fact, the enemies of America itself. There is a worldwide conspiracy right now to take down anybody who stands up to the international, the growing international socialist war against America and against anyone who stands up to them. Listen to clip 22.
But for the Home Office to produce a name and shame list was a self-evident gimmick and demeaning to government, and has now produced a completely avoidable legal action which is producing splendid publicity for Michael Savage. On reflection, doesn't she think this was a mistake and the wrong way for the government to behave?
Well, it is a mistake, of course. She's defamed me. Her website says that I have caused violence, which is the exact opposite of the truth, and we are going to get our justice in court. People have asked me today in the media, will I ever visit Britain? Well, I said to them that when my name is taken from this list of murderers and terrorists, if I am invited by the Conservative Party to deliver a speech before Parliament to all of the UK, I will consider going there. But I wouldn't consider it any other way. I wouldn't certainly go there for the dental work. Now listen to the next clip. Now remember where this is occurring. This is an international incident about Michael Savage. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this. This out-of-control Home Secretary did this by smearing me. All you leftist liars say that you were against McCarthyism. Well, here you have a case of McCarthyism on steroids, and you're saying nothing. It just shows you what liars you are. Play the next one.
If it's an even-handed approach, could the Home Secretary then explain why we've welcomed to this country two UK residents, but not citizens, back from Guantanamo Bay, who are not only suspected terrorists in Afghanistan, but also wanted on murder charges in Spain?
Yeah, ha-ha, Jackie. I guess terrorists are welcome in Jackie Smith's England, but not American talk show hosts. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. There are other topics that we're going to talk about, and I'm opening the show up to open mic to Mike on the Savage Nation. Any topic is fair game. I think that the American audience has come to see a few things as a result of this vicious vicious, malicious attack on Michael Savage. Some talk show hosts have come to my side. Even the ACLU has taken my side. CARE has taken my side for their own reasons. But nevertheless, they understood what principles are at stake. With very rare exception, there have been people on my side because they know it's bigger than Michael Savage. They know what's at stake here. The biggest losers in this entire event are Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, who have finally shown themselves to be who they are. I'll be right back.
Savage.
USA in your Chevrolet, America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Well, this is the most shocking takeover yet. He took over the banks. He took over the financial institutions. He smeared off the crooks of Wall Street in order to shut them up. And now Obama is seizing control of General Motors, creating a massive Soviet-era car company without a peep coming out of the morons in the media who are talking about God knows what. Now, if you like the Yugo, you're going to love the Obama-lay. If you like the Yugo, you're going to love the Obama. Unbelievable to me. I see it in front of my eyes. It's emerging right in front of my eyes, a Soviet-style America. The United Soviet States of America. I'm glad to hear that Michael Steele of the RNC picked that one up for me. When I created Compassionate Conservatism, George Bush was launched into the White House. Now Michael Steele has picked up on something I said maybe 5 years ago. As Bush started to be showing himself to be a fiscal socialist, I started to say we have become or are becoming, this was about 2 years ago, I said, the United Soviet States of America. During the campaign, I tried to get that moron McCain to finally unleash on Obama. He wouldn't do it because he was set up as a fall guy. Either he was a dummy. Actually, I think he's just a dummy, or he was an actual fall guy or a Manchurian candidate, one of the three or all three at once. It's very hard to say. He had three or four or five clear opportunities to decimate Obama during the campaign, and he didn't. He did not. Remember when the last debate was coming up? I have to go back to get you up to speed. Before the last presidential debate, and people were screaming at McCain, get tough, call him out as a Muslim. Expose his past. Say it like it is. Oh, he said, don't worry. Wait till you hear me next time. So I went on the air, and I came up with the slogan, trickle up poverty. Those of you who listen to the show know that I'm great at words. And I said, John McCain, here's how you can win the election. You go up there, and with a smile, Reagan-esque, you say to Obama during the debates, you know, Senator, we've heard all of this before, all of your plans and ideas. It's been tried before. It's called trickle-up poverty. It was tried in the Soviet Union, and it didn't work then, and it won't work now. That would have been the end of the election. All he had to do was hammer trickle-up poverty. But instead, his campaign manager, who I know was a snake in the grass, not only would not give him that line, that dummy, McCain, but they wouldn't let the dummy on the show. Now McCain's daughter, who sounds like somebody who doesn't know what she's talking about, is actually sounding like John McCain in a skirt. Listen to this. Listen, play McCain's daughter now.
I think if the Republican Party just says abstinence only is the only way to be, then we're going to lose a lot of young voters. And I think I would never want to practice anything I didn't preach. It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking and trying to make it even more extreme.
People in this party that are hijacking it? A pro-sex woman? This is the new campaign slogan of the GOP, we're pro-sex, follow us. Now, how does that differ from the Democrats? We know that they like to do it in the road. The Democrats said, if it feels good, do it. Democrats are the party of do it in the road. So now what she's saying, someone's hijacking the party? This is a babbler, but I think it's the inner McCain. So now we have Obama, the naked Marxist, seizing control of General Motors, creating the massive Soviet-era car company. You think it's a laughing matter. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know what to say to you people. I think you're too stupid to even have a country. I don't think Americans deserve to vote. I think that the people in this country are so stupid that they deserve less than Obama. That's what I'm starting to think. That's how angry I'm getting. I'm getting angrier by the day at the lack of passion, the lack of outrage, and the lack of intelligence. They don't even see what the man is doing right in front of their eyes. They don't even see it. Who are you going to blame? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to St. Louis, Missouri. Clay, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I really think you're the only true conservative radio host. The rest of them that I hear on the air just seem to tout the Republican Party. And in essence, I really can't see much of a difference once elected between a Democrat and a Republican, and it really scares me.
That's correct. There is no difference. It's a Republican or Democrat government. It makes no difference which party wins. To a 99th percentile, they're about identical. There's a little stylistic difference, but that's about it. But fundamentally, they're both varieties of socialism. Thank you for the call. So, play See the USA in the Chevrolet. I got to relax.
Play.
It's not funny. Turn it off already. No more. Break the record. I'm home with the dogs now while I'm doing it. Last night I made them a hamburger. Can I talk about dogs? Maybe I'll talk about dogs. It is a dog's life, I realized. I'm with the dogs, the two little poodles, one 10-pounder, one 2-pounder. I know you don't care, but since it's my show and one day I will be exonerated and taken off the list of murderers in UK. I'm telling you right now, I'm laying it on the line. This has taken a toll on me unlike anything I've ever expected. I have sacrificed 15 years of my life for the betterment of America and Americans. And right now I'm being ripped apart by the vermin on the left. And no one is coming to my aid with very rare exception. That's going to be the end of it. You will never hear from me again. When my name is removed from that, I'll close down my website. My health is suffering, and I will not die for this cause any further. If you don't care, I don't care. If the Republican Party is a worthless bunch of thieves, I don't give a darn. If you think that I'm going to do what the Republican Party ought to be doing, you're mistaken. They have all the money in the world. They have all the power in the world. They have all the protection in the world, and they're doing nothing for you. You want me to do the whole job that the Republican Party is supposed to be doing? Are you crazy? I'm not going to do this anymore. I have one battle left in me, and that is to get my name off that list and get justice in the courts, and that's it.
Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. Obama seizes control of General Motors, creates massive Soviet-era car company, and America yawns. Step by step, day by day, a Soviet-style America is emerging, and America yawns, and the disappeared Republican Party says nothing. The worthless Republican Party says nothing. In England right now, you have a socialist government under Labour, and you have a Tory opposition that is vocal and literate. Speaking out not only on my issue, but on many issues, literate and vocal, getting up there with brains. We have nothing here, nothing on the Republican side, not one articulate voice, a party with dummies in it, a party that was totally deballed by George Bush, a party that was eviscerated by the Bush power structure. They cut the guts out of the Republican Party. They crucified any conservative inside the Republican Party, whether it was Tancredo or any other. Bush crucified them. And Bush destroyed the conservative movement. That's why over a year ago I called him a fiscal socialist. I saw what he was doing. I saw what Bush was doing. So don't just blame Obama. This is all one gigantic conspiracy to erase the sovereignty of America and roll us into the New World Order. You think it's just rhetoric, don't you? Well, just yesterday it was announced that several nations are thinking of abandoning the United States currency and accepting the Chinese yuan as a reserve currency, all under Obama. Who is behind all of this? Who is profiting from this? George Soros, the money changer in the Temple of Truth? The money changer in the Temple of Freedom? You will have neither truth nor freedom left if you don't defend the truth. If you lose the truth sayers in this country, you're going to lose your freedom. You will have no freedom left. None. Zero. Marie in Houston, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Dissident. I just want to express my deep disappointment with the alleged number one and two talk show hosts for not supporting not just you, but free speech.
He stands for nothing but himself and his own aggrandizement. I've seen this for years, and I've left him alone. I supported him when he was called a pillhead. I supported O'Reilly when he was called the loofah man with the sex scandal. Remember that they bought the woman off?
Yes.
I supported both of them. Neither of them will lift a finger to help me because they're not in it for America. They're not in it for a cause. They're not conservatives. But I don't want to focus on them. They are what they are. See it for what it is. Now let's move on. Our enemies are very clear. They're just showmen.
Tell you though is that
all right? Look, I'd rather talk about cooking last night than about the radio. I'd rather give you what I cooked for the dogs. It's as much value as talking politics. Why do I say that? Obama seizes control of General Motors. He creates the massive Soviet era car company I'm telling you about, and nothing happens. No one stops the man. He's a dictator. And unless you stop this dictator while he's in his early phases, you're going to lose everything in your lifetime. He can be stopped. You've got to motivate your congressman, Democrat or Republican, to stop this man. He's a narcissistic egomaniac on a quest to take over the world. No one's ever said no to Obama. I've given you the psychological portrait of this man. I told you all about his woman problem. I told you all about the problem with his mother, that she abandoned him, and how it left him inside needing approval and what he's doing, which is why he goes around the world and puts America down to get their approval, then comes back here and puts America down and gets the approval of the self-hating left, the self-hating left that hates themselves and hates their country. But where is the opposition? Where are the voices of opposition? You don't hear them in Congress. You don't hear them in the Senate. Republican Party's defunct. You listen to the voices in England of the opposition. It's a pleasure to hear them. They're not in power. But at least they speak, for God's sakes. They're literate. They're intelligent. Listen to clip 21 again. Hold it. Well, this is Michael Fabricant, a conservative member of parliament, the equivalent of our Republicans. Now compare him to one of these lunkheads that we call Republicans. Go ahead, play it.
Well, notwithstanding the Home Secretary's answer, she will be aware that the things of which she accuses Mike Savage is equally illegal in the United States of America. And he has not faced prosecution there. So does she realize how ludicrous her ban is? Does
she realize? Let's stop right there. Notice what he said, what she accuses Savage of. He has it exactly right. This human thing, Jackie Smith says that she wants to uphold British standards. Well, do the British standards include smearing an individual who you've never met? Does it include smearing an individual who you've never asked to defend himself? Does it include smearing? Is that British standards, Jackie? Smearing a man without ever having listened to him? Smearing a man based on soundbites sent to you by a far-left radical group? Is that your idea of British standards, Jackie Smith, trying to drag a man's name through the mud? Are those the British standards you're proud of? Letting in terrorists? Letting in murderers? That's your idea of British standards? Yeah. But listen to how literate they are, the opposition party. We have no literacy here. So there it is. That's the stir. So before I get back to politics, I do have to get this out of my system a little bit more about the dogs, only because this is such a personal show. I know I have many new listeners. People think I'm doing this for ratings. What they don't know is I care nothing about ratings. I don't care one whit about ratings or listenership because I have it. I don't need any more. I've written 5 bestsellers. I don't need another one. There might be one, but I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't care about it. What I care about right now is the truth, exonerating my name, and shaming Jackie Smith for what she's done, exposing her for what she's done to me and how she's smeared Britain and taken a once great nation and brought it down to the level of North Korea. So, as I say, after the show was over last night, I went home, barred the gates, locked the door, loaded the guns, and I decided I would cook dinner for myself. So I normally don't eat a lot of meat, you know, that's why I'm still living. I've written so many books on nutrition and health. Thank God some of it must have worked. I take massive doses of vitamin C, massive doses of vitamin E. I mean, when I say massive, 800 I use a day. A certain multivitamin, which I'm not going to plug. I'm not selling anything to you right now. I take a lot of B6, things of that nature for many years. Eat a lot of garlic, tons of vitamin C approximately. I would say on the order of about 1 to 2 grams a day when I'm healthy, much more when I'm not feeling well. And it's worked for me. That's all. Thus far, it's worked for me. Tomorrow, I could be gone. But thus far, it's worked for me. Terrible genetic inheritance. Thus far, though, still good. Still good. No major surgery in my life other than I was butchered when I was a child with a tonsillectomy that I didn't need by the butchers of the Bronx who butchered the little boys as fast as they could. But other than taking away my T cells and my tonsils, leaving me with a few minor illnesses, I'm in good shape. So this attack upon me, this vicious attack upon me, this malicious attack upon me, at this stage of my life, after having spent 15 years trying to better America, trying to better the family in America, try to save us from the devious perverts in America, they have launched a full-scale attack upon me. Notice they didn't bring this upon Rush Limbaugh. They didn't bring it upon Sean Hannity. And they didn't bring it upon the loofah man, O'Reilly. Now, why is that? If I'm less important than those wonderfully important intellectual giants that I just mentioned, why did they bring this upon me? Why did Jackie Smith pick me, not Rush Limbaugh? I'll let you figure that one out. First, they came for Michael Savage, but because you didn't approve of Michael Savage, you didn't raise your voice. Then they came for Rush Limbaugh, but because you didn't approve of Rush Limbaugh, you didn't raise your voice. Then they came for whatever. And then they came for you. But then there was no one left to stand up for you, was there? See, there's a parable going back to Cardinal Niemöller, who lived through Hitler's Germany, who came up with that syllogy back in those days. And we've tried to teach you a little bit of history, but since America's a brain-dead nation where there is no history, the history is approximately 5 minutes in length. The history is a discombobulated daughter of John McCain who can't finish a paragraph without sounding like a combination of Paris Hilton and a dingbat that they just got off the street on YouTube. And now she wants to run the Republican Party. I can't believe what I'm listening to. Miss USA stands up. Beautiful girl. Intelligent girl. Has a belief in the family. Belief in her Christian teachings. And she is ripped to shreds not only by the devious sewer rat perverts, but by every sewer rat in the media. They take the side of the sewer rats in the pervert community. The sewer rats in the pervert community rip Miss Pregene apart, and the sewer rats in the media rip her to shreds along with them. And you wonder why America's melted down? Has one Republican said one good word about Miss Pregene? Where were they? Nowhere. It will be interesting to see if the perverts now attack Fox News. I understand they protested them. And we'll see if the perverts next attack all of Fox's advertisers. We'll see what the pervs do next. That's what happens when you stand up for Christian values. That's what happens when you're a straight-up heterosexual Christian woman. You get ripped to shreds by sewer rats. But let's go back to Obama seizing control of General Motors, creating a massive Soviet-era car company. I still haven't told you what I cook for. Look at that. I can't even get a story out. It's not that interesting anyway. Oh, I started telling you about the cooking. So I don't eat a lot of meat, but I was craving meat. When I'm under this stress, it's the funny thing. My dietary desires change. I eat a lot of shrimp, garbage, sewer shrimp. It's terrible. Shrimp's garbage. I know what they are. I eat a lot of calamari, all of that. It's always worked for me. It's given me a tremendous amount of energy. And south of the border, I got to tell you something. It's amazing what it does. You eat calamari, it's frightening. But, you don't need any of those substances that they're selling. Sildenafil. You just don't need it. You need calamari oil, that's all. You need calamari oil. The Italians had it right. They really, really did. Calamari, these are all laden with various substances. So anyway, I wanted meat. I don't know what it is. I got some hormone-free meat I had brought over. But in order to assuage my conscience, since I was going to have meat, I had to also have fish. The devil on my right shoulder said, go ahead, eat the meat already. The angel on the left shoulder said, if you're going to have the meat, can't you have a little fish with it to get the omega-3? So I let the angel and the devil fight with each other. And then to top it all off, because I know the value of vitamin B6, which you haven't been taught enough about, I had my housekeeper get me green peppers and red peppers. And I sliced them up and I put them in tremendous, I like Spanish olive oil. And you have to fry them in a certain heat or you'll burn them. And they have to be cooked a long time with a cover on, or all the B6 goes out in the steam, because vitamin B6 is water soluble, and it's subject to leaving the vegetable. I never understand why people cook vegetables in an open pot. They don't seem to understand that all the steam is taking all of the water soluble nutrients out into the air, and you're left with a mass of carbohydrate with almost no value in it. So when I cook my vegetables, I put a cover on it. All right, so I made a huge pot of, because I was thinking back to New York, like in the Little Italy days, when I used to like sausage and peppers, which I didn't know. What did I know? I would go to one of those stands and eat one of them greasy sausage sandwiches with peppers. When you have no consciousness of food, it's a pleasure, you know. I don't eat much of sausage anymore. I like the peppers, though, and the onions. So I made everything, blah, blah. So I made the meat, then I made the fish. What I got was Petrali sole, which is a local, you know, type of flounder. And I learned how to make it. It's the hardest thing in the world to cook fish right. I learned how to cook it 30 years ago, and then I forgot. When I lived in Spain, I was eating fish all the time. Then when I lived in the Marblehead, I also ate fish all the time. I had 138 cholesterol when I was living on fish. I was younger, that was different. Now it's off the charts. I don't really worry that much about the total cholesterol number. That's another myth. It's whether or not the cholesterol is oxidizing, which I'm sure you know about that. So you want to make sure that your blood is saturated with antioxidants of the type I have mentioned to you. But anyway, the dogs normally get their, what do they call it, that grainy gruel, those chips we call them. And I usually augment the chips with a little chopped carrot. The dogs love fresh carrots. They're like children, you know. When you don't have children around, after they leave you, you have to have dogs if you're a giving person. I put carrots into the gruel, and he likes, they'll eat chicken. And he loves provolone cheese. It must be there's a little Italian gene in him. He likes it of all his cheeses. I don't give him a lot. But last night, you know what it is? I'm getting to a political point, I think. I'm not sure yet. So I said to him, he was listless. He didn't look happy. I could see he was laying around. I said, Teddy, I'm going to give you a hamburger tonight. He's so smart, he knows burger. So I made him a hamburger, and I gave him the burger in his gruel. Well, his eyes lit up. You know, it's like when a man is starved for something and he finally gets it, how he feels he can take on the world again. I mean, whatever that may be. I don't know. Whatever it is that a man is starved for. Don't always go to the, you know, to the Barney Frank level. But what I'm saying is, it was like this dog was dying for real meat instead of gruel and grain and health foods. He's a carnivore, man. He's got four canine teeth for that reason. He needs to rip and tear. All of my other dogs, I always would give him a bone, which they'd eat on the grass. Then at night, the raccoons would come for it. And, you know, that's why I stopped giving them bones, because they leave them on the lawn, and then the raccoon comes, and you have a raccoon problem. They love to gnaw on a bone. And so, anyway, the dog was happy. Then we watched television. All I'm watching on TV now, you know, I told you I like military history. How much Hitler can you watch, see him get blown up with Himmler? It's pretty good stuff put out by the BBC. The reason I like to watch World War II era stuff is because I see the bad guys die. At the end, I see Hitler shoots himself and all of his bastards get killed, and they kill their children. That's the good news. And I love to see him in all their glory with their Hugo Boss outfits. Nobody made better uniforms than the Nazis, man. Was it Hugo Boss, I think, designed I'm not sure about this. I may or may not be correct. They were natty, man. They knew how to put on those uniforms. Hermann Göring put on a little weight as time went on. Started out as an aviator in World War I. He packed on the... He has a weird face, Hermann Göring. You look at the pictures. The older he got, and the more he put on dresses and earrings and wigs, and like he got into the whole transvestia thing. This guy was a ghoul, Hermann Göring. You know, the real fat guy, the Air Force chief. He was lean and good-looking in World War I. But once he assumed total power, and he was able to rob art from the Jews and steal people's possessions and houses, he was like a growing, grotesque beast. As he became more and more grotesque, because his appetite kept getting larger for more thievery, more evil, his face started to distort into something of a mean woman. I don't know if you see these things. And then, of course, at the end, you see him tried in Nuremberg and whatever. But the beauty of it is, anyway, I couldn't watch it anymore. It's enough already. So I watched Sopranos reruns. And then last night, what I watched was where they take down, well, I'm going to take 30 seconds. I'm so late right now. They take down the sporting goods store. The neighbor's father owns a big sporting goods store. They get him into gambling. They get him on the VIG. He can't support it. They take over the store, and they take out all the goods selling it out of the back door. They run up airline tickets on his credit, and they do anything they can to destroy, bust out the guy's lifetime building up the sporting goods store. It's exactly what Obama's doing to America. Instead of busting out a sporting goods store, Obama and his cronies are busting out America. I'll be back.
Savage.
To Obama and his minions, America is nothing but a sporting goods store in The Sopranos. And then once you get your fingers into it, what you do is you run up credit. And you sell the products out the back door for your own self-aggrandizement. So his car czar is now going to eyeing, it just came out, a quick sale to the government of General Motors. You hear this? No one knows what the purchase price would be. But we do know that stakes in the new auto company, a Soviet-era, Soviet-style auto company, stakes in this new company will be given to the General Motors Union. How do you like that? The very people who destroyed General Motors, in part, the union, because of demanding wages that were unsupportable, pensions that were unsupportable, are now going to own General Motors. But since you're paying for it, it doesn't matter anymore. Don't you see how it works? First they came. Do you know who wrote that? You don't know who that is, Father Niemöller. First they came, you know that one? In Germany, they came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me, and by that time, there was no one left to speak up. Pastor Martin Niemöller, about the inactivity of German intellectuals following the Nazi rise to power, and the purging of their chosen targets group after group. Thank you for defending Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh. Thank you very much for being a good German, Sean Hannity.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Home Secretary's answer, she will be aware that the things of which she accuses Mike Savage is equally illegal in the United States of America, and he has not faced prosecution there. So does she realize how ludicrous her ban is? Does she realize the disrepute she has put this country in the eyes of many right-seeing people and indeed left-seeing people in the United States of America? And does she equally plan to ban Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, and other middle-aged, white, ordinary American radio presenters?
Viva USA in your Chevrolet.
In Obama's way, America's government is asking you to crawl.
Drive your
USA, in Obama's way, America's the government is making you to crawl.
On a highway or a road along a levee.
So now we wake up to the next shock to our system. Every day another shock from the Obama administration, which is Alinsky's plan, which is to come up with a new shock every day until eventually the people are so shocked you can get away with anything. Every day Obama's somewhere doing something magnificent until eventually you wake up, your guns are seized, your free speech is gone, your children are in the hands of the perverts, the churches are under the hands of the government, and you won't even know it because you said nothing when they came for Savage. You say, well, how can you make all of this about you? Well, how can you not make it all about me? How could you not make it all about me? When they take Michael Savage, third most popular talk show host in America, in England, and they list me amongst real haters and murderers, such as a Hezbollah terrorist, a leader of Hamas who killed people, Russian skinheads now in prison for murdering immigrants, they have, in other words, conducted a Stalinist attack upon Michael Savage by blacklisting me. There are no crimes committed by Michael Savage, and so therefore, this is a crime against Savage's reputation. An article just came out when they came for Savage by Barbara Anderson, and she says, Savage often yells at those he thinks are steering us into socialism or worse. He sometimes is strident. He is articulate and makes his case. There have been callers who would like to go farther than that, but Savage has carefully drawn that line beyond which he will not go. You'll notice that every time someone tries to talk violence on my show, I cut them off. Savage will not call for violence, nor will he stand for callers who would like to do so. Now that we live in a new world order, globalism reigns supreme. What is happening overseas has more importance than ever. Instead of being able to count on traditional allies, she writes, we find the government of Britain colluding with a push toward punishing so-called hate crimes. Canada has already succumbed to this push, stifling religious opinions that do not toe their particular line. The European Union has become almost monolithic. Britain's representatives have betrayed the common man in forcing this union. It is largely hated, that means the government of England, because the citizens have little input as to how they will be governed. However, the elites that run the country have learned well how to leverage a small amount of power. It is the same all over the EU to a large extent. The EU, having the blueprint and having had time to iron out the problems, stands ready to help implement our own union, the North American Union. Our grand plan is to merge with Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. into the NAU. Connecting the dots, we can see that our own domestic hate legislation is being pushed along even now. The Democrats have always wanted it. Now they think they're in a position to ram it through. The victims, the beneficiaries of this legislation, were chosen based on actual or perceived sexual orientation, gender identity. Did you notice that? Actual or perceived crimes. When Representative Lewis Gohmert, R. Texas, and Steve King, R. Iowa, tried to have congressional Democrats define sexual orientation in this bill, they were refused. This is so vaguely defined that some have dubbed it the Pedophile Protection Act. And she goes on. No tolerance of opinion. None whatsoever. And she says, a wise man said that with politics, there are no coincidences. Accusing hatred of those who just want to give an opinion comes right back to Michael Savage. Since we are all citizens of the world, according to some, the globalists zero in on those who speak against them. One of the loudest is Michael Savage. To take him on calls for a certain amount of chutzpah, unless you know that your allies are very strong. I think that Smith knew of Savage and has been egged on by the globalists in our country. Usually the modus operandi is to whittle away at some of the weaker structures until the opposition falls. With Savage, Smith has taken on the top. It is a gamble. We have seen that Savage will not be intimidated. He now has a suit against Smith. Discovery should prove interesting. What little we are allowed to see in Britain lets us know that the politicians are quite corrupt. Miss Smith herself is not squeaky clean. Did someone high up in our government give the go-ahead for the action taken against Savage? With several millions of listeners, Savage is a threat, unlike their usual MSM puppets. Most importantly, she writes, how will we the people respond? Everyone who writes or speaks should be alarmed. When laws are enacted for one set of people, there is favoritism that should never happen in a free republic. If you can be sued just because somebody charges that they perceive that their feelings have been hurt, the slippery slope is greased. Voltaire is credited with saying, I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. To the death, strong words. There is time to speak out and make allies. There is time to let our representatives know killing free speech is not acceptable. These reps seem to only fear one thing, a loss of power. They respond when enough let them know to change their votes. Well, now they have come for Michael Savage. Let them find the phalanx of Savage allies. For if Savage is left to twist in the wind alone, there will soon be no champions of free speech, whether you like the speech or not. Thank you, Barbara Anderson. Thank you very much. And I will go back now to Cardinal Niemöller, who wrote the famous First They Came, Pastor Martin Niemöller, about the inactivity of German intellectuals following the Nazi rise to power and the purging of their chosen targets group after group. What you don't understand is this. Niemöller, Cardinal Niemöller, was an anti-communist and for that reason supported Hitler's rise to power at first. But when Hitler insisted on the supremacy of the state over religion, when Hitler insisted on the supremacy of the state over religion, does it sound familiar? Niemöller became disillusioned. He became the leader of a group of German clergymen opposed to Hitler. Unlike Niemöller, though, all the clergymen gave in to the Nazis' threats. Hitler personally detested Niemöller and had him arrested and eventually confined in the Dachau concentration camp and others. Niemöller was released in 1945 by the Allies. He continued his career in Germany as a clergyman and became a leading voice of penance and reconciliation for the German people after World War II. His poem is well known, frequently quoted, and is a popular model for describing the dangers of political apathy. That's you. You listening to this show, you're politically apathetic. You listen to radio and you think you're making a difference. You listen to radio and then you go on to something else and you think that you're doing something. But no, you're actually doing nothing. In Germany, they came first for the communists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. And then they came for the trade unionists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me and by that time there was no one left to speak up. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, for being good Germans. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, we're following the big story, which is that Obama has seized General Motors, and he's going to make the company sell itself to the U.S. government, which is creating a Soviet-era automobile company right in front of your eyes. And, of course, you can't do anything, so you're saying nothing, and you're too dumbfounded and flummoxed to even understand what Obama's doing. This out minutes ago, a rocket attack leads to air raids in Israel. Israeli Air Force jets have staged a series of strikes in the Gaza Strip after militants there fought militants. Not terrorists. Maybe the rockets were fired by global warming UFOs. No, that wouldn't work. You can't call them terrorists, so, and militants is a little too militant. I think they should rename them global warmingists. Fired a rocket into the yard of a house in the southern city of Sderot. Israeli planes bombed the area six times today, targeting underground tunnels used to smuggle goods into the besieged territory. In other raids, they targeted armed men. See, the enemies of the Jews are either men or militants. So there it is again. That's a day after Netanyahu comes here already. They're shooting rockets into Israel. And blah, blah. Here's another big story. British expense scandal ousts lower house speaker. You have no idea how big this is. This is the first time in 300 years. In three centuries, this has not happened since the 1600s. For the first time in 300 years, the Speaker of the House of Commons has resigned. He's a Labour Party member, by the way. The same party as Jackie Smith. The biggest casualty in a widening scandal in which lawmakers used expenses that they billed expenses to the people. Michael Martin took 30 seconds Tuesday to break with centuries of convention, announcing that in the interest of maintaining unity in Parliament's lower house, he would leave his prestigious post by June 21. This is all I have to say in this matter, Martin said softly in his Scottish accent. You see, because he's a Labour Party member, the AP paints him as a nice guy. If he was a Tory, of course, you'd hear that he was a conservative right-winger. But because he's a left-wing slimeball, he's suddenly a nice Scotsman. The rest of Britain will likely not move on so easily. Since details of lawmakers' expenses became public earlier this month, the public's anger has intensified. Claims have included such mundane items as cookies and pet food to more costly ones such as a chandelier installation, cleaning of a moat, and even mortgage payments. Conservative leader David Cameron is asking the public to sign a petition urging Prime Minister Gordon Brown to call an election as soon as possible, offering voters a chance to kick out Labour lawmakers. They left that out of the AP story. They smear me as often as they can, the Associated Press vermin. And, of course, they do it around the world. They're part of the New World Order. Brown, the left-winger, is resisting calling an election. Now you say, what does this have to do with us? Everything to do with Michael Savage. Jackie Smith is next. Sure, the story about lawmakers' claims is the bigger story. 80 lawmakers have been singled out. But this is the first time in 300 years that a man of this stature has been forced to resign. Last year, he was criticized for claiming about £4,280 British pounds, $6,640, for his wife's taxi fares. I don't know where she was going. And around £17,500 pounds, 27 grand, towards the cost of his second home in Scotland, while he lived in a government-paid apartment in the Palace of Westminster. 300 years? Things are going on. Things are changing. Speakers are usually treated with great respect, and publicly criticizing them just isn't done. But you see, the last speaker to be forced from his position was Sir John Trevor, who was found guilty of accepting a bribe in 1695. My prediction is Jackie Smith will go very soon. Not solely because of her Soviet-style behavior with regard to Michael Savage, what she's done to me to smear me. Worse than McCarthy ever did. All you liberal liars, you're worth nothing. You lied to yourself when you said you'd stand up for someone when they were attacked. You lied when you said that if you were in Germany, you would have stood up for the Jews. You have been lying to yourself your whole life. You're doing nothing, nothing for free speech. Nothing. You are the hollow man. You are the empty man. You're the empty suit that you accuse everyone of being. You're nothing. You're less than fluff in the wind. And I have contempt for you. I have contempt for you. So here it is. You're living through historic times. This has not happened in England in 300 years that a speaker has been forced to resign. He's tied directly into the Labour Party, the same party that has this Jackie Smith creature who has smeared Michael Savage for speaking his mind, taking his sound bites out of context, trying to paint a target on his back to get him killed, in my humble opinion. And you said nothing, all you good liberals. You said nothing. So therefore, you would have done nothing when the Jews were being rounded up. You would have done nothing, maybe shoved a few children into a truck to take them to a concentration camp to stay alive another day to watch some internet pornography or go to a ball game or go dancing. You know, what I'm saying to you is very interesting here. For the first time in 300 years, the Speaker of the House of Commons is forced to resign because of the scandals in the Labour Party. At the same time, Michael Savage is involved in all of this somehow. You say, well, wait, aren't you overblowing your importance here? Not at all. Not at all. Listen to what members of Parliament from the opposition party said yesterday. Play 22.
But for the Home Office to produce a name and shame list was a self-evident gimmick and demeaning to government, and has now produced a completely avoidable legal action, which is producing splendid publicity for Michael Savage. On reflection, doesn't she think this was a mistake and the wrong way for the government to behave?
And then Julian Brazier in clip 23, play that.
If it's an even-handed approach, could the Home Secretary then explain why we've welcomed to this country two UK residents, but not citizens, back from Guantanamo Bay, who are not only suspected terrorists in Afghanistan, but also wanted on murder charges in Spain?
So she takes in murderers, wanted for murder in Spain, and she bans Michael Savage, talk show host. That's what England's become. I don't think this resignation is the first, is the last. I think it's the first. It's the beginning of the end for the communist left-wing Labour Party. And you say, well, why do you say communist left-wing? Well, because I'll define it another time. I told you there are several hundred varieties of socialism. It would take a whole volume to describe what I just said in more words than one. I am not going to rest. I've employed one of the largest, if not the largest, law firm in Britain. Okay, that's number one. There is a defamation claim that has been filed as of last Friday. They have 7 or 10 days to respond. Major damages, and also my name removed from this McCarthy-esque list created by this Jackie Smith creature. And when I clear my name, and she is finally shamed for what she has done to me and to the good name of England and the people of England, or Britain, actually, I made a commitment today, and unless something changes within me or outside of me, I'm leaving radio and I'm closing down my website soon thereafter. This is the last battle I'm going to engage in for you. I told you I stayed in radio for the betterment of America. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I make a very good living at this. I could write another bestseller, another five bestsellers. I don't need it, and I don't want it. No man should go through what I'm going through. But because you are worthless, you're doing nothing for me.
Savage.
Another shocking story, not to be unexpected in the new growing Soviet America. Arrest ordered for mom of boy 13 resisting chemo. New Ulm, Minnesota. Arrest ordered for a mother of a boy 13 who did not want to take chemotherapy. She was using alternative medicine, and a judge said, you must take chemotherapy. Cancer refuses to take chemotherapy after she fled with her son and missed a court hearing on his welfare. A so-called judge issued an arrest warrant and ordered that Daniel Hauser be placed in a foster home, in other words, take the child away from the parents, and be sent for an immediate examination by a pediatric oncologist so he can get treated. Treated, huh? The Hausers are Roman Catholic and also believe in the do-no-harm philosophy of the Nemenaha Band, a Missouri-based religious group that believes in natural healing methods advocated by some American Indians. This is an amazing story when you think about it. For many reasons. If the government can force you to take chemicals, drugs that you don't want to take, for better or for worse, force you is the issue. They can then take an individual in who is opposed to Obama, for example, opposed to a government action, and declare that person schizophrenic or declare that person mentally deranged or mentally unstable and force that person to undergo various therapies identical to what was done to intellectuals who opposed the government of the ex-Soviet Union. In the ex-Soviet Union, if people stood up and spoke out against the government, they were declared mentally unfit or mentally unstable. It was said that we live in a paradise here in the Soviet Union. There may be one salami in the butcher shop with 1,000 people wrapped around the block, but anyone who says there's only one salami in the butcher shop and there's not enough meat for the people doesn't understand reality, and they're not living in reality, therefore they're mentally ill, and therefore the KGB is going to seize that person, put them in a mental hospital, and inject them with dangerous drugs that will numb the person into submission. Arrest ordered for mama boy 13 resisting chemo. That's why this is a very important story, because the day will come, as sure as I'm standing here, that the Obama administration will declare anybody who opposes anything he does as, no, not a threat, not take away his free speech, the opposite. We want to give him free speech, but it has to be clear free speech of a healthy man, not the free speech of an ill man. We want to help his illness. So we're going to take him in and give him government treatment at a government hospital. So when he comes out, he can speak healthfully about the beauties of America under Obama. You say, well, this is not possible in America. Oh, no? Did you ever think that a government would take over banks? Did you ever think you'd see a government take over a General Motors? Did you ever think that you'd see so many things in so few days? Well, you're seeing it. I warned you he was a Marxist. Told you he was a Marxist. Told you he was going to bring trickle-up poverty to those of you who earn a real living and give it to those who don't make a living or don't want to make a living or are here illegally. I told you he'd turn the country upside down and that you'd lose everything in your life if you didn't understand what was going on. It didn't happen yet. Of course not. No. The sky is still blue. The clouds are still white. Nothing's really affected you. Everything seems hunky-dory. Why, Obama's saving the world step by step and day by day. He's doing such a great job. Yesterday it was the banks. Today it's General Motors. You don't understand when I say it's a Soviet-era move, because you don't even know what the Soviet era means. You don't know what Nazi means. You have no idea who Hitler was, most of you. Something vague about a man in a boss uniform, created by Hugo Boss, that's all you know. Some guy who screamed a lot, who had uniforms created by Hugo Boss, that's all you know when I say Hitler. Oh yeah, you didn't know that the uniforms were created by Hugo Boss. That didn't stop you from buying a Boss suit, nor it should. I'm not suggesting that you should not buy a Boss suit because it was the favorite suit maker of Nazis. No, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against Hugo Boss. He makes a nice suit. But you should know that in 1997, it came out that Hugo Boss acknowledged the link to Nazi regime. I'm not saying don't wear Hugo Boss. I'm just giving you an example of why they look so natty in their uniforms. Before Hugo Boss AG became known for classic men's suits and flashy ties, the clothing manufacturer made uniforms for the Nazis. A company spokeswoman acknowledged today, New York Times, dated August 15, 1997. The company said it had become aware of the dealings with the Nazis after the name of its founder, Hugo Boss, who died in 1948, appeared in a list of dormant accounts released by Swiss bankers last month. That's amazing. In the 1930s, when the company began making Nazi uniforms, it was a family-run business that manufactured police and postal uniforms. The Nazis awarded contracts to thousands of companies to produce the black uniforms worn by SS units, the brown shirts worn by SA stormtroopers, and the black and brown uniforms of the Hitler Youth, according to Eckhard Trox, a military uniform expert at the museum in Ludenscheid. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you have to make a buck. You got a schmata is a schmata. You make a nice uniform for the Nazis, you make a quick buck. And that's all. There's nothing wrong with that. They look nice, and they look nice in them. Liberals love them. They're into style. Libs love style. In fact, I would think that if the U.S. military wanted to reinvent itself and be loved by this slime on the left, who are so into style, not substance, they should get rid of their drab American Army uniforms. Go a little on the blue, a little more on the blue and gray, a little higher in the shoulder, and a little more of the SS look. I think then the left would salute them because they love. By their politics, they are the new Hitlerites. They are the new Hitler Youth. Everything they do is out of Hitler Germany by degree and by step. And so I say the U.S. military should consider reinventing itself for the sake of popularity and for the love of the left. They should consider a little upgrade of their uniform. A little Hugo Boss wouldn't hurt. All right. Sarcasm, satire, whatever. I'm getting tired now. I'm wearing out. I had a good hour and a half. I'm wearing out. I can feel it. I'm up early in the morning fighting this battle, dealing with lawyers in London, dealing with lawyers in America. The left is attacking me relentlessly. I'm doing this all alone, one man alone, against this entire machine, an entire government. No help from anyone. Thank God for the Thomas More Law Center. I hope you're making some donations to them or to my legal fund, which I'll send to them. And the rest has to happen in the courts. Right now, in the court of public opinion, I'm winning. In England, I am winning. Last poll says, should Michael Savage be banned from the UK? 80% say no. 80% said no. Of course, with the latest scandals now in England, the charging the government for various and sundry, that the speaker has to be thrown out for the first time in 300 years? Well, it's time now to throw out Jackie Smith. It is time to get rid of Jackie Smith, who is worse than the speaker. This is way beyond an expense scandal. This is a scandal of a much higher order because it's defamed all of England, brought it to the level of North Korea or the ex-Soviet Union. She talks about fundamental British values. She wants to uphold fundamental British values. And it's funny here that some of the zanies on the left, the so-called progressives, say, well, they have a right to ban them because every country has the right to let anyone in if they want. No, they don't. Oh, no, they don't. There are laws on the books. The European Union has specific laws on free speech. And they ban me for speech, remember, not for acts. They ban murderers, but you can't link a person whose speech you may dislike with murderers unless you're a psycho leftist Nazi, which you are, all of you leftists. You just haven't come to understand that you actually are the fascists that you claim you're not. You are the new fascists. And the UK has actually violated European Union law. And that is where we're going to drag her, into the European Union courts. We are going to hang her by her own petard. We're going to take the liberals and we're going to use the laws that they passed to show that she has unfairly defamed me. She has defamed England itself. She says, oh, I want to uphold the standards of England. We have certain standards to uphold. Well, I would think one of those standards would be permitting a man who you accuse to defend himself before you put him on a list of murderers. Wouldn't you assume that that's one of the tenets of a democracy? You accuse a man of certain things and you don't let him speak for his own defense? That's something that you would expect in China of the 1960s or 50s, not England of the year 2009, would you? unless you are a left-wing fascist. Then you would say, sure, she has a right to ban anyone she wants. No, she does not. European Union law prohibits it. And I think that it's time for Jackie Smith to be dismissed immediately and for the British government to apologize to Michael Savage, saying, "Why we don't agree with you at all. Not we may not. We don't agree with you with most of what you say, whatever you want to say. But we have no right to ban you. We believe in free speech, and we believe in the law of the European Union. Not only that, we want to make up to you, and we're going to invite you to give a speech before Parliament on any topic you wish." The topic I would choose is the very same topic that I chose when I was granted the Freedom of Speech Award 2 years ago by the Talkers Magazine Convention. Remember, I am the winner of the Freedom of Speech Award in the United States of America amongst the talkers, and I'm banned in Britain. I give the very same speech where I talked eloquently about satire and such. That's what I will speak in England about. I will refer to Orwell, Aldous Huxley, Bertrand Russell, all of my early adolescent and early manhood heroes. They were all British. All my heroes modeled on the great UK and their great genius, the great writers of England. And look what England has become under the Labour Party. Look how low it has fallen. Look what cheap pieces of work they are. That for the first time in 300 years, the Speaker has to resign? This is of monumental importance to you if you're listening to this show. And I am a part of this, make no mistake about it. You just don't know it yet. But this scandal of expenses and this scandal of naming a talk show host along with murderers is all one and the same of a corrupt, degenerated Labour Party. That's how far the left has fallen in England. And make no mistake about it, their cohorts in the Democrat Party are identical. They are just as evil, just as corrupt, and just as dangerous. I'll be right back. Savage. Yep, see the USA and Obama lay. America is asking you to crawl. Can you imagine that this man, who has never run a hot dog stand, this imposter, Barack Hussein Obama, who has never, ever met a payroll, is now forcing the sale of General Motors at a fire sale price to the U.S. government, creating a Soviet-era auto company? It's happening right before your eyes. Take over the banks. Take over the automobile manufacturing. It's exactly the playbook of Mussolini. Well, I realize he doesn't speak Italian. He doesn't strut. He smiles. And the left is in love with the anointed one. He can do no wrong. So therefore, it's good. See, there's good fascism and there's bad fascism. Good fascism is pleasant and it smiles. Bad fascism, it frowns and it yells. England, Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I just want to confirm to you that it's more than 80% of the British people that are outraged over what's happened to you. I'm an American married to a British...
Susan, I have to hang up because you're breaking up. It's going to blow listeners away. Very bad connection. But if you're listening to me in England, please write your newspapers. The BBC is controlled by the Labour government. I know that. Call your talking shows. Write to the Prime Minister. Not to the Prime... I may appeal to the Queen herself. I don't know what power she has. I don't think the Queen can be very happy as to what has happened to freedoms in England. I may appeal to the Queen of England herself. I've always admired the royal family. Oh, I've made my jokes about the prince, but so what? I may have to appeal to the Queen herself to have my name stricken from this list of murderers because I have been taken out of context. I've been misquoted. My words have been mangled, all by Jackie Smith, all to cover up her own crimes, in my opinion. And just as we see it, the first time in 300 years... The Speaker of Parliament has to resign? Do you realize this is amazing. I have to have a drink after the show to think about this. You know, I have a friend who is a physicist. Well, I'm going to leave him. One name, I'll have him on the show one day. JS, you know who I'm talking about. And he and I, he's one of the few people that I've talked to about this on the inside, from the inside out. He's the only one who's actually asked me how I feel. It's very interesting. No one's really asked me how I feel and how what it's doing to me, being named with murderers. And we talked, and he said to me, he said, there's something going on here that's so big. It is so enormous, and that you're part of it. He said, we don't know how this is going to end. He said, it's hard to predict how this ends. He said, you're part of some historic tide. You've always been in the forefront here on radio. You've just not been acknowledged or recognized in your time. Sure, by your listeners you have, but not by the mainstream people. They've ignored what you've been trying to tell them. You've stood for goodness. You've tried to save America. You've stood for borders, language, and culture. You've stood for family values. And the left, which is run by those who oppose borders, want a polyglot of languages, want to destroy the American culture, and hate family values, have taken out every weapon they have to try to destroy you. And he said, you could just bring down the British government. He said, you could be part of a larger scheme of things. You could play a major role in bringing down this corrupt, evil Labour government in Britain and sweeping in a government that actually defends itself against the rising tide of Islamic fascism, that defends itself and defends Britain while it can still be defended before it is crippled entirely, is what he implied. I don't know what the outcome is. I don't know how this ends. Not everything ends well. I want to remind you that not every story ends. Not every storybook has a beginning, middle, and an end that you like. Not every ending is a good ending. Some endings are terrible. Some endings are just horrible. I'm not that optimistic that this ends well for me, nor that it ends well for England, nor that it ends well for America. I'm not optimistic at all. Normally, I have optimism and I bring it to you. But at a certain point, I have to bring realism to you. We are entering a new dark. We have entered a new dark age. And I don't know that we ever come out of this. We may fall into this horrible Brave New World movie of this horrible movie called 1984. Remember the movie version done in 1984 it came out? I actually watched a bit of it last week. I had to turn it off. I had terrible nightmares of the movie screen in everyone's house where Big Brother speaks to you and can watch your every move. How far away are we away from that with branding people who you disagree with as a murderer and a terrorist for what they say? How far are we away from that when Janet Napolitano in our own country brands returning war veterans as possible terrorists? How far are we away from this when I say Big Sis is a miss? How far away are we from this in this country? And I'm the only one here speaking out against it in this way. It's fallen upon my shoulders. I don't want it. I didn't ask for this. I do not want to lead the people through the Red Sea. No one asked me to lead you through the Red Sea. I didn't ask for it. I didn't say, hey, I need the ratings. Let me lead the people through the Red Sea. What I said to you is I really don't want to do this anymore. I've said it for a while now. But just when I thought I was going to get out, I get pulled back in, so to speak. I don't want to do it. I have a number of reasons I don't want to do this, but I have to do it. It's intimately tied up with my own reputation and my own name. And frankly, I think how I go, so goes. Truthfully, I swear to God, I know you're going to think it's, you know, egomaniacal. However this goes for me, it goes for you. Let's put it to you that way. If they get to smear me without repercussion, if they get to ban me without repercussion, you lose as well as I do. The whole nation loses. England loses, the U.S. loses, the West loses. If, on the other hand, the truth comes out and we show that I've been defamed, we show that I've been treated unfairly, we show that I've been linked up with murderers when nothing I have ever said has produced violence, ever. In fact, the exact opposite is true. I've actually been a great safety valve for America. People who tended towards wanting to get violent, I've talked them off the edge and said, go and vote. That's what I've said over the years. If it turns out that good happens for me and the British come to their senses and they act according to the European Union laws, by the way, and they remove my name from that list, and Jackie Smith is shamed, as she should be, and certain other things happen, and I am invited to England to give a speech before Parliament on freedom of speech, which is what I will do. Maybe. I might go there. I might not go there. I might send a video in lieu of myself. Remember, please remember that 2 years ago, Michael Savage was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award amongst all the talk show hosts in America by Talkers Magazine, a great publication. I was chosen, and little did I know when I gave that speech on freedom of speech that I would be fighting for my very life itself 2 years later. And make no mistake about it, I am fighting for my very life itself and for your freedom as well.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The government told America and the world that the swine flu wasn't as bad as we thought it was. The government told us we had nothing to worry about, that all we had to do was wash our hands and cover our mouths when we coughed. The government said that Joe Biden was a nut when Biden said he wouldn't put his family on public transportation. And the government said that closing the borders would be like closing the barn door after the horse got out. Well, it looks like we had a few more horses in Mexico after all. The Centers for Disease Control is now telling us that 5,000 people in the U.S. have been reported to have the swine flu, but that the actual number is 100,000 people with the flu. Six people have died, and the flu is now present in 48 states. I guess big sis Janet Napolitano didn't have things as well under control as she thought she did. They may have thought control in their own heads, but they don't have thought control over the people yet. The latest victim of the epidemic was an assistant school principal from Queens, New York, who died over the weekend at age 55. And it was days after the man became ill that they closed the school, leaving the children and their families open to getting this deadly form of flu. Too bad they didn't close that barn door a bit earlier, Mr. Obama. The government media complex handled this case wrong right from the start. First, it refused to close the borders with Mexico. Then it pretended there was no swine flu. They changed the name. The media even went along and refused to call it the swine flu. They gave it some technical numerical name. Then they moved on to meaningless stories about Barack and Michelle going out to dinner and the kind of sneakers Michelle Obama had. Well, the swine flu, unfortunately, was laying low, and the government failed us completely. The CDC should be closed down, and Janet Napolitano should be fired for incompetence. We have talked about how so few religious leaders have spoken out in my defense about being banned from entering the U.K. Joining us today, though, is Bill Keller with LivePrayer.com, who has spoken up for me and who says that it is important that we speak out and not lose our freedom to speak.
Michael, I appreciate you having me on. Listen, Christians need to be concerned with what's going on in your case, because I have been telling the people in my radio and television program that Christians are coming under attack. And the way this is going to happen is they're going to come after mainstream guys like you, and they're going to be looking to try to stifle your free speech, and eventually they're going to move into the religion area. And this whole hate crimes legislation that's pending in the Senate right now, trust me, it's not designed to protect homosexuals from violent acts. It is designed to stifle the free speech of people like myself who go into the public marketplace and speak out against homosexuality. This is the free speech that the world is looking to stifle. What happened to you in England is nothing but a precursor of what Christians better be prepared for what's going to happen to them. The whole Obama at Notre Dame controversy really revolves around one issue, and it is the issue of free speech. He cleverly tried to couch this whole issue in, let's just have civil speech. Well, listen, you can't have civil dialogue when you're talking about the slaughter of innocent babies. This is not some kind of an issue that you can come to terms with. You either are in agreement with the fact or you don't. And the fact is, those who seek to protect life is exactly the type of free speech that the Obama administration wants to stifle. They want to stop anyone from speaking out against their godless policies, whether it be abortion, homosexuality, Israel, or anything else. And what happened to you in England is simply a kind of like a test missile to see how it's going to happen in this country when the government, when the Obama administration starts to target people like myself at liveprayer.com who daily speak out against their godless policies. And if what's allowed to happen to you in England, isn't changed, if the government doesn't step up and support you, then we have got a lot of problems a lot quicker here in this nation than we ever believed, because I believe that this administration is not only out to control the entire environment in which we live, but especially the religious discourse in this nation. And that's the problem that we're facing, and that's really the big problem Christians need to be concerned with, and why they need to be concerned with what's happened to you in England.
Why don't more people speak out? Where are the rest of the Christians and the Jews?
We don't hear more people stand out because we have literally created a generation of gutless pastors who are afraid to speak out. We've got Christian leaders who have sold out the cause of Christ to feather their own nest, and in the process, they've fallen into this worldly trap where the rank-and-file Christians now are afraid to speak out. So when they do, they get attacked. And Christians have been brainwashed into being silenced. They've been intimidated by the homosexual community, by the pro-death community, by those forces that oppose God into silence, and they have been totally unable to articulate their view in the marketplace. And when the few who do speak out make those statements, they are marginalized and basically treated as total idiots and goofballs.
Do you think this will change anytime soon?
It's only going to change if the church, those true followers of Christ who believe in the Bible, take their stand. If that doesn't happen, it's not going to change. It's going to get worse because, you know, people can talk about all the issues of the day, but the fact is, the Christian viewpoint in this nation, which used to be the predominant viewpoint, has been so marginalized that we are now looked at as fools, as idiots. And if we continue to be silent on these issues, that will only continue to happen.
What do you think will happen with my being banned from England?
I see England backing down. I believe that they are a secular society that doesn't want the heat that's going to be brought on, and they will capitulate in some way to appease Michael. But the fact is, what they did is a warning call to all Christians that what happened to Michael Savage is going to happen to Christians, not in England, but in this nation. It is going to be soon a very difficult environment for Christians to simply preach the Bible, because we live in such a godless culture, and that day is coming very soon.
Bill, where can we hear more from you?
They can visit our website at www.liveprayer.com. I've written a daily devotional every morning for 10 years, and now it goes to 2.4 million people around the world. I've done a live TV and radio broadcast every night for the last 6 years, dealing with the issues of the day from a biblical worldview. You know, people have been sucked into Fox News because they've got a so-called conservative bent. But the fact is, their conservatism is purely political. It's not Christian. It's not a biblical worldview. And if people want to hear a real biblical worldview on the issues of the day, they need to tune in to liveprayer.com.
Bill Keller, thanks for speaking up. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Got the CDC messing up the entire swine flu epidemic, a worthless organization, in my opinion. We've got Homeland Security that covered it up. downplayed the severity of the flu. Then they covered up the country of origin. They accused me of racism for saying it began in Mexico, and everyone knows it began in Mexico. That became a racist statement to these psycho-liberals who kill us all. Their political correctness will kill us all as it is. It's destroying the heart and soul of this country. They came after the Boy Scouts, this beautiful, great organization, because the Boy Scouts stand for something true, and they build character in a boy. The vermin came after the Boy Scouts. They politicize every organization in America. That's why America is weak now. That is why we elected an imposter to the presidency. An inexperienced imposter is running America. The most powerful man in the world is an inexperienced community organizer from the Chicago back wards. How did this happen? Because America is a weak nation. Its character has been almost entirely wiped out. The radical left has been on a warpath for 40 straight years, and it has infected the body politic to the point where I don't think the body can recover from the psychic flu of its soul, of the soul. I don't know if this country can ever come back. The only way this country can come back is if each and every man, woman, and child in this country recognizes that it has to come back from within them. What is a nation but the people? And when the people are weakened by pornography, when the people are weakened by entertainment, when the people are weakened by a constant feed of sluts from Hollywood, when the people are weakened by sports in their head, what are they? They're nothing. There's nothing. They shall disappear from the earth like fluff in the wind. And our Islamist enemies know that, and they sense victory. They sense victory. They come here and visit, and they see morons, men walking around in Bermuda shorts, stuffing their faces with hamburgers on the weekend, incapable of defending their families, incapable of defending their nation. The only way this country can survive is if each and every man, woman, and child understands that the future of this nation is within their own soul. It's not outside. It's not in the government. It's in you. You have to strengthen yourself. You have to find within you the greatness that this nation once was. You have to reconnect with the geniuses who created America. You have to recreate in yourself the labor of your ancestors in order to come back to your own humanhood, because I want to fight back. It's funny how sometimes things come at you when you least expect them and you find out who you are. You know, there were times I wanted to leave it all together, but not now. Now I'm staying. I'm staying till my name is clear and my name is off that list. But so anyway, I said, wait a minute. What is it that they find offensive in England? They really know who I am. They know about all the books I've written. They know what I really said. They took these sound bites that don't add up to 3 minutes out of context. They say that summarizes 15 years of preaching on this radio show. Impossible to believe that that's what they would do to me. So I said, wait a minute. My views are a sum total of myself, and myself, I'm an American man. I was once an American boy. I was born in an American hospital. I was raised in the public schools of New York City. I watched movies. I went to religious school. I learned from certain heroes I had. So I said, who are your heroes? Who did you learn from? Because we are a sum total of our parts. Do you understand why the radical left understands that if they grab your child young and they usurp, for example, the rainbow, if they usurp everything and twist everything into their reality, they can brainwash your children into little goose-stepping soldiers of the left. I grew up in another time. I grew up with different role models, with different heroes. And so I said to myself, wait a minute, I'm the weather vane. So let's go back to the beginning, I thought. Who were my role models? Who were my intellectual or mental teachers? Moses, Abraham, Isaac. John Wayne, Coltrane, Charlemagne, okay, Patton, Hatton, even Mountbatten, even Eisenhower, Washington, Pershing, MacArthur, Kipling, Audie Murphy, Sky King, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Tom Mix. These are some of the individuals who I looked up to as a child growing up, who I try to live up to in my life. Don't you understand that we are a sum total of what we read, what we see, what we hear? What we're exposed to, or I don't know if you see it that way, but we pick up. I don't know if that's 100% true, because We see a lot of things. I mean, I've seen so much television, I wish I could erase it from my mind. I do. If I could have it all over again, I would never have watched 1 minute of television. I probably never would have gone to one movie. If I had a choice in my life, but I'm an addict. I'm a media addict, and I'm too deep in it to get out of it. But the fact of the matter is I'm a product of all of it. But remember now, in all of these years, over 50 years of watching television and watching movies, it's actually over 60 years, trillions of images, right? But look who I've picked to share with you as my role models. I could have also picked Charles Manson, but he's not affected me in any way. I could have picked Mussolini. I could have picked Attila the Hun. I didn't say any of those people were my role models. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? In other words, it's not necessarily who we're exposed to as to who we are. In other words, who we are innately, perhaps, is who we relate to in the geography of our soul. In other words, you get a lot of images. Did I say Hillary Clinton was a role model? No. Did I say, without getting comedic in a political arena, I could pick another couple of goats and say no. So, I don't know. These are the people. I was raised to believe in the Old Testament. Then I was raised to love the Western heroes. I remember my earliest Western heroes as a child were Roy Rogers, Gene Autry. I loved those guys. I had two little cap guns. And anyone who came to the door of my little apartment, there was this little kid with two little cap guns waiting to greet them, saying, stay away. So they were my, teachers. Sky King, great man, flew a little pontoon airplane into the Alaskan outback. Loved Sky King, loved it. But I could also say I am Lassie, because there's a bit of Lassie in me too. I could also add some animals and say I am the eagle, because I am the bald eagle. I could also add other animals to this. I could add women to this because there were women role models. Not many, admittedly, but there are some. I could say I am Madame Curie because it would be true if I said that. I could say that I am some medical heroes that I could add in there and say I am them. I could add Linus Pauling to the list, for example. So the weather vane, in other words, explains to you who I am mentally. And therefore, when the UK bans me, they're banning them. They're banning Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Charlemagne, John Wayne, Coltrane. They're banning Patton. They're banning Hatton. They're banning Mountbatten. They're banning Washington, Pershing, MacArthur, and Kipling. They're banning Orny Murphy and Sky King. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com today. You should go on the site every day. Top left, the great article by Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times. Batten down the hatches, duck and cover. Michael Savage is on the airwaves. Be sure to click on the enlarged artwork picture and see the halo around me. I guess they learned that you can put a halo around your favorite personality. They learned that from Reuters with Obama. Savage's lawyers issue complaint to the United Kingdom chief. Very important story. We have issued a defamation complaint to so-called Home Secretary Jackie Smith for her listing me along with murderers and terrorists simply for expressing my free speech. Shame on you, Jackie Smith. You have sullied the name of England. You have dragged English history into the mud. On the left side, radio host Savage seeks Clinton's help over ban. That's right, because I was put on a list with Islamic terrorists, Russian skinhead killers, and neo-Nazis. For doing what? For expressing my American opinions on borders, language, and culture. You can read the actual defamation complaint on MichaelSavage.com, and those of you who are interested in the actual law, you should read them, because the allegations from the Home Secretary constitute serious and damaging allegations against Michael Savage, which in fact are actionable under English law, thank God. A new poll in Israel shows that 31% of Israelis call Obama pro-Israel. 31%? Let's reverse that. What does that mean? 59, 60, 69. Oh, 69% of Israelis say that he's not pro-Israel? I guess that should have been the headline. Ha ha. Britain's War on Michael Savage by Jeff Kuhner is an evergreen. You must read the whole thing. It says it all. Hamas wants acceptance without changing ideology. Well, its goal is to destroy Israel. And, of course, why should they change since the world is on their side? Pakistan is rapidly adding nukes to its arsenal. That's right. Oh, yes, even while racked by insurgency, they're building nuclear weapons. On the right side of MichaelSavage.com, there's a shocking article out of Texas. Airline mechanics who can't read. Hundreds of workers in Texas repair shops who are fixing your jets do not speak English. They're illegal aliens. Hey, isn't diversity grand? Isn't diversity grand? From the Chicago Tribune, we learned that Reverend Wright, that man of love and peace and harmony, has teamed up with Bill Ayers, communist, for Mideast peace. That is to attack Jews in Israel. I guess some things never change. And oh yes, Rahm Emanuel and Blagojevich, the disgraced governor of Illinois, traded calls on a $2 million school grant. But hey, what the heck? He's now running America. When anybody writes about me in the mainstream media, it's usually a hit piece. They usually take what I say out of context and spin whatever I say to fit into whatever their agenda truly is. Imagine my surprise when a recent column about Michael Savage actually portrayed me in a decent light, the way people who know me see me. Here to discuss her recent article from the Washington Times, Jennifer Harper. Jennifer, thank you so much. What's the background on your article?
Thanks, Michael, for having me. I appreciate it. Well, you're a very interesting person to write about, Mr. Savage. I think certainly you are, well, you're in many worlds at once. And I cover media issues for the Washington Times. I often cover the people that are behind all those stories, behind all those dynamics and energy that we either love to love or love to hate. And certainly you have had your real spotlight lately, certainly with the British government. I don't think I've seen another person in the media get this much attention from an entire British government lately. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to write a profile of the one and only Michael Savage. But beyond that, I think the phenomenon behind this Savage Nation also is definitely a media moment to be looked at. That type of culture off the air with the Savage Nation, I think, is very interesting as well. And I think, too, when I write a profile like this, and I've written quite a few over the years, I like to see what the prevailing forces of that person's life, how that comes into play when they emerge as a larger-than-life figure, I guess, in the media. I do some radio myself. I host an occasional one-hour show, and I know how much effort that takes just to even do an hour. And sometimes when you look at the number of hours you were on and the number of years that you've been on as well, I felt compelled to kind of look at that part of it too. And this story ran on Sunday in our Sunday read, which is designed to give people a greater take on the news of the day. And this was under our newsmakers section.
Why do you think I was put on this UK ban list?
You know, that's probably way above my pay grade to determine why that happened. But I certainly found it interesting that some of the folks that have criticized you, Michael, over the years, such as the Council of American Islamic Relations, were saying, this looks a little interesting here. They were looking more at the legal aspects of it, and I don't know why they would do that, frankly. I think it certainly created a sensation amongst your listeners, and a lot of media watchers were wondering why go to such an extreme. And as I said, I don't know why they did that, but I found it to be a hallmark in media circumstances and media circles. I can't really recall this happening to someone else.
What sets me apart from the other hosts and personalities that made them pick on me?
I think probably what sets you apart is the fact that you've lived a whole bunch of lives. When I was doing the research on this, I was thinking, gosh, you're somebody with multiple advanced degrees. You've lived on both coasts. You've mixed it up with a whole lot of people. And as I pointed out in the article, this is decades worth of experience. And you yourself said that when you are in the media, you are in a type of a cauldron, and that the person who is in the cauldron every day emerges, I think you called it case-hardened or battle-hardened. And certainly as a member of the news media myself, I know it is not an easy life, and but your particular dynamics are probably multiplied way beyond a lot of people based on your experiences. And to answer your question, gee, I'm not a psychiatrist or a therapist, but I guess I'm an observer. And I would say people do listen because you've had a lot of different experiences. They're looking for wisdom now. People are looking for wisdom. In fact, our friends at the Pew Research Center, of all things, a very respected organization right here in D.C., about the news media, about a year or so ago, they came out with a phrase that the media was now an answer culture, not so much an argument culture, and I always found that to be very significant. So I think you have a pretty big population out there who are looking for answers right now.
What do you see that appeals to listeners of the Savage Nation?
I think that part of the appeal has got to be there's a certain amount of energy going on there and variety. And as I pointed out in the story that ran, that you're weighing in on multiple issues here. There are a lot of things that you like to do, but certainly I said, here's my little laundry list. You had laser-like takes on immigration, white males, cheeky liberals, wimpy conservatives, media bias, cultural wars, porous borders, Iraq, Afghanistan, terrorism, same-sex marriage, corrupt Hollywood, junk science, big medicine, big government, scurrilous officials. And the other part of it is that you share a lot of your own personal stories, and that's not easy to do on a daily basis. I love, personally, I like to hear about what Teddy is up to. And I wish I had a Teddy sometimes, but I think people identify with that. And it is what it is. I think you told me yourself, I do it because I do it. I speak, therefore I am. And that's kind of putting it out there. That appeals to people.
Well, what is your take on the rest of the media today?
Well, that's a tremendously complicated situation, Michael, and I think most of all, as the news media changes, I mean, I write that story about the death of newspapers every other week as everyone struggles to find their voice and the way to deliver their stories and so forth and still stay afloat. I think my greatest message to anyone in the press out there is don't forget your old-fashioned news values. Don't check them in the door as you barrel forward in this business. That means credibility, accuracy, and also a certain amount of humanity. Don't forget who your audience is. And that's America and the rest of the world.
Jennifer Hopper, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Okay, here's what I've been talking about on the Savage Nation. Obama meets with Netanyahu. As you know, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with Obama to discuss the situation with the Palestinians and with Iran. Israel, as you well know, has threatened to do many times in the past. Again, Netanyahu is saying he will strike Iran if they develop nuclear weapons. We ask, should Netanyahu attack the Iranian nuke plants while he still can? And then should the Palestinians be granted half of Israel for a national homeland? We also talked about Nancy Pelosi, where Democrats continue to defend the hypocrisy of Nancy Pelosi over the weekend. And the more they talk about the situation, the less convincing they sound, in that she obviously was told about the waterboarding in 2003, and she approved of it. There used to be a saying that went like this, what's good for General Motors is good for the nation. Now the saying rings hollow. Decades of overregulation, destructive environmental standards, and incessant demands of labor unions have dragged General Motors down to a point where it can't survive without government welfare. But it looks as if Barack Obama has decided that what's good for the Supreme Court is Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm. He is invited her to the White House and is reported to be considering her to replace far-left Justice David Souter. Clearly, this is just a political move. Obama wants to massage the voters of a very liberal state when their main industry, automobile manufacturing, is at an all-time low. In other words, he kills the auto industry, and then he appoints one of their own to the Supreme Court to placate the voters of Michigan. This is significant given how much the illegal alien lobby was counting on placing a member of La Raza on the highest court in the land. Obama actually seems to have charted a centrist course and decided that the state of Michigan is more important to him than La Raza. But ultimately, this will not change the composition of the court one way or another. One liberal will be replaced by another liberal. And the next two most likely justices to retire, Ruth Bad Girl Ginsburg and John Paul Stevens, are also both far to the left. Obama will appoint liberals to replace them as well. And the composition of the court will remain the same in light of today's news. It's a very good thing because the Supreme Court, by a single vote, ruled just days ago that those who were detained in the wake of 9/11 may not sue officials in the federal government for their violations of their ethnic cuisine. Had Bush not appointed Alito and Roberts, both strong patriotic conservatives, had he gone with his own more liberal leanings and opted for Harriet Myers instead, the U.S. government today would be awash in an unprecedented number of lawsuits being brought by the ACLU on behalf of the enemy. This is one thing we can thank George Bush for. The Obama administration is working on government-sponsored health care for all of the United States. Wow. And they can really manage a car company so well. Last week, Dr. Peter Breggin discussed what he thought the consequences of this government-sponsored health care would be like, and he joins us now. Dr. Breggin, give the Savage Nation some historical background for your conclusions.
To summarize last week, Michael, the first six inevitable consequences of government health care include increased birth control and sterilization, increased abortion, euthanasia of severely disabled infants and children, and other groups, including the elderly and the chronically ill, premature discharge from acute treatment hospitals into chronic care facilities, and assisted suicide for depressed and costly patients. Progressives will eventually push all of these cost-cutting solutions as acts of kindness. As for historical precedents, the oldest government health care system in the West, the State Mental Hospital, provides us examples of the most extreme outcomes of government health care. Eventually, more than 500,000 patients at a time were locked up in America, and the biggest problem became how to manage masses of confined people. A desperate solution was implemented in the 1930s, severely damage and even mutilate the brain, supposedly to treat mental illness, but really to enforce their low-cost warehousing. Directed and funded by state health care, 50,000 people in North America were lobotomized, and hundreds of thousands were shocked into oblivion. Federal facilities were also involved.
You think euthanasia fits in here, too?
Before Hitler came to power, German psychiatrists decided to take this violent approach to a new but logical conclusion. Instead of damaging their brains, why not simply kill the patients? Independent of Hitler, professors of psychiatry organized mass extermination of what they called useless eaters and lives not worth living. German psychiatry developed gassing and crematoriums to facilitate large-scale murder. Psychiatry developed the use of fake soap and fake showers. Patients were shipped in boxcars to killing centers like Hadamar, Hartheim, and Sonnenstein, names that remain largely unknown to Americans. In 1941, after it was well known that Germany had already euthanized more than 100,000 of its own citizens in the name of mental health, the American Psychiatric Association held a public debate on whether to sterilize our nation's mentally retarded population. Then in 1942, the official journal of the American Psychiatric Association followed up with an editorial entitled Euthanasia. The editorial officially endorsed the extermination of the severely mentally retarded over age 5 in America. When Hitler turned his attention to exterminating the Jews, the psychiatric murder centers provided him with the blueprint for a highly organized murder program, as well as some of the initial staff, buildings, and equipment. Hartheim, a brand new psychiatric murder center, was turned into one of the first Holocaust extermination centers. And trained at Hartheim, psychiatrist Franz Stangl became the commandant of Treblinka, the Holocaust extermination center in Poland. After the war at the Nuremberg trials, many observers concluded that the psychiatric extermination program was the necessary entering wedge to the Holocaust. They agreed that Hitler might not have tried to implement mass murder if the psychiatric extermination program had not demonstrated its feasibility and methodology. This opinion was given by the AMA representative at Nuremberg, Andrew Ivey, as well as by many others. You can get more details about all this in my published scientific paper, Psychiatry's Role in a Holocaust, which is obtainable on my website. I originally presented this paper at the first ever conference on medicine in the Third Reich that was held in Germany.
You've talked about the risks of massive sterilization.
Yes, Michael, and in this case, the United States was actually way ahead of Germany with massive sterilization of state hospital inmates in California, Virginia, and elsewhere. Paul Popenoe, a leading American advocate of family planning and sterilization, actually went to Berlin to convince the Nazis that mass sterilization was feasible because no one had protested it, even in America. Hitler's first legislative act was a national sterilization program for the mentally and physically infirm. It was authorized by a leading German psychiatrist, Ernst Rodin, and it became a part of the whole plan of euthanasia as well.
You're kidding me. Are you saying our government healthcare would yield the same results?
Mass sterilization and euthanasia? I don't think so. Not in the immediate future, at least. But there will be a push in these directions as part of a progressive attempt to cut costs of the national health care system. Many tragic outcomes of government health care are already being implemented in Europe and in some of the more progressive American states. To stop these trends, we must stop government-run health care and we must return to first principles. Once again, let me conclude with my weekly refrain to my radio report. What I call the primary principles have never been more urgently appropriate. Protect freedom, take responsibility at all times, express gratitude for your gifts and opportunities, become a source of love. You can listen to all of my radio reports and download the transcripts at www.breggin.com. That's BREGGIN.com.
Dr. Breggin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation with your chilling analysis.
Savage.